This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar.
Ya ayyuhalladhina كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر وعلى الذين يطيقونه فدية طعام مسكين فمن تطوع خيرا فهو خير له وأن تصوموا خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان فمن شهد منكم الشهر فليصمه ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون إن الحمد لله نحمد ونستعين ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وسلم. All praises are for Allah. We praise Him. We thank Him. We ask Him for His help and we ask Him for His forgiveness. We seek refuge with Allah Ta'ala from the evil of ourselves and the evil of our actions. Whoever is guided by Allah, then no one can misguide them. And whoever is misguided, then no one can guide them except for Allah. I bear witness that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam is his final messenger. Amma ba'd. First of all, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I just want to welcome you all. Alhamdulillah. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless this gathering. Insha'Allah, on the doors of Ramadan, may Allah bless us all, inshallah, and let us to live to see Ramadan and bless us in it. And I want to thank the sisters from IDCA for inviting me here to share, some, inshallah, bi'idhnillah, knowledge with everyone, bi'idhnillah ta'ala. So my dearest sisters, upon us is Ramadan, the month of mercy and blessing, the month of forgiveness, the month when the doors of Jannah and mercy are opened and the doors of the hellfire are shut and locked and the devils are chained in this month. And in this month, more people are freed from the fire in this month than any other month. And so Allah Ta'ala has filled this month with all, like every opportunity to get His bless, to get His forgiveness and to get His mercy. So it's only the deprived person, subhanAllah, that could miss out on the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this month. So bi'idhnillah, the first of what I thought to share with you today is to talk about some of the wisdoms behind fasting, inshallah, for us, because some of, alhamdulillah, I heard some of the sisters here it might be their first Ramadan. So it's important for us to, you know, reflect. And even for those of you who are so old in fasting, we still need to reflect on the wisdoms, inshallah, behind why we fast. SubhanAllah, so we need to realize that everything Allah has commanded us in this religion, there are great wisdoms and benefits behind everything. SubhanAllah, there's nothing in this religion of Islam except that there are huge benefits and wisdoms behind it. And there's nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forbidden us from doing in Islam except that it's, yani, there's again, huge wisdoms behind why Allah and His Messenger has forbidden this particular thing for us. So dear sisters, subhanAllah, first of all, what Ramadan does. When Ramadan comes to us, it first of all reminds our hearts of what is the true goal and what is the true purpose of this life. Like Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ, that I haven't created the you know, the jinn nor the human beings except to worship me. All year we get distracted with the dunya, we get distracted with the worldly things, with our lives, and we forget about what is the reality of this life. So Ramadan, what it does, when it comes, it makes us wake up and realize what is the purpose in this life and what should I be striving for as a Muslim in this life. So this is the first thing that Ramadan does for us. Now, the thing, yani, there's some things we can reflect upon while we're fasting. So first of all, from the things that we can reflect upon while fasting is, yani, when a person becomes hungry and thirsty, when you become hungry and thirsty when you're fasting, to think about, first of all, if this is the thirst that I feel in this life, then imagine how is it going to be on the day which, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us it's a day which is the length of 50,000 years. The day of judgment, the day of resurrection, when all of mankind will be gathered to be called to account, the length of this day, as Allah told us, is a length of 50,000 years. So imagine when the sun is brought like only a mile away from the people's heads and they'll be drowning in their sweat. Many will be drowning in their sweat. But the point is, you know, the intensity of that heat, and there's no respite, you know, subhanAllah, from the intensity of that heat, unless Allah, you know, Allah subhanAllah, you know, unless that person comes with, of course, righteous deeds that will screen that person from the intensity of the sun. But the point is that we should be thinking about, if this is how thirsty I feel in this life, then what would it be like on Yawm al-Qiyamah? Thinking about the thirst on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and who would give you a drink on Yawm al-Qiyamah, subhanAllah. So this is, you know, this is from the reflections that we can make. Another one also, another of the wisdoms behind fasting, or the benefits we think about while fasting, is to think that one of the things that fasting does, it creates resilience. It helps you to become more resilient as a Muslim. Now you think about it, if you live a spoilt life, okay, if you don't go through any kind of hardship, how would you learn resilience? How would you learn how to be strong? And that Allah wants us to be strong mu'mineen. Allah does not want us to be weak in our religion. He wants us to be strong believers. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us certain, you know, certain commands in the religion that makes us build up and become stronger as believers. So for example, when you fast and you get hungry and thirsty for the sake of Allah, this helps you to learn how to be patient and how to go without food sometimes. If a day ever came in your life where you're deprived, like, we don't know what's going to happen to us in this life. Did the Syrians, may Allah relieve their hardship and give them nasr, did they think, you know, 10 years ago that they would be going through what they're going through today? We don't know what's going to happen to us, subhanAllah. We don't know what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might trial us with in our lives. But through fasting, it's something that strengthens us. It gives us resilience that if hardships come our way, inshallah, we're more able to, you know, to be able to bear those hardships. Like sometimes if you can't find food or you can't find drink for a certain amount of time, the fact that you fasted Ramadan, you say to yourself, well, I've done this before. It's not like the first time I've gone without food and drink. You know, so there's a certain amount of, it's character building. You know, it builds you up. And you think about the early Muslims in the early days of Islam. Like, look at what the disbelievers did. They cut them off from their food supplies. And to the level that the Sahaba, the companions, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the hunger was so much that we're eating like the leaves of trees, they were eating grasses. They had to tie a stone to their stomach to stop the pains of hunger. That was the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was going through such trials. So we have to realize that as believers, like Allah told us in the Quran, you know, it's not enough, like, you know, just to say amanna wa humna yuftanun. Like, it's not enough for a person just to say we believe and to think that you wouldn't be tested in this belief, to see how sincere you are in this belief. So we don't know, only Allah knows, yani, what tests and trials might come our way. But inshallah, by fasting, it's a way of building up our resilience, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, and making us strong as believers, ready to strive, you know, ready to strive, inshallah, for any circumstances that come our way. A third of the benefits, inshallah, of fasting is that, you know, fasting is from the greatest things that teaches you how to have ikhlas, how to have sincerity for the sake of Allah. You know, all year, what do? All year, we're just eating and drinking and feeding our bodies. But what fasting does, okay, it nourishes the soul. Okay, we're constantly worrying about feeding our bodies and nourishing our bodies, you know, watching what food we eat and all of these things. But we often forget that our soul needs nourishment. Now, what nourishes the soul is acts of worship. Acts of worship is what nourishes the soul. And fasting is from those things that nourishes the soul. So, and the way that the fasting nourishes the soul is it teaches you ikhlas. It teaches you to how to be sincere in front of Allah. Because what happens is that when you're fasting, no one's watching you except like you, yani, a person could pretend to fast in front of people, but they could easily just go and eat behind everybody's back, couldn't they? Right? You could easily cheat. No one would know if you sneakily went and ate at home. No one will know. But what is the reason that you don't eat? What is the reason that you don't drink sneakily? Because you know Allah is watching you, right? You know Allah is watching you, and that's why you don't eat, and that's why you don't drink sneakily and break your fast sneakily. Because you know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching you. And that is something that teaches you how to have ikhlas. It builds up the feeling of sincerity in your heart and develops that feeling that Allah is watching me. Okay, so that's the way that fasting teaches us how to have ikhlas. And this is exactly why the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told us an authentic hadith. It's actually a hadith Qudsi, that Allah has said that every good deed that the son of Adam does is multiplied from 10 to 700 times, except for a psalm. Illa saum, fa innahu li wa ana ajzi bih. So the Allah Ta'ala has said that all acts of worship, all good deeds you do, the reward you get for it is multiplied from 10 to 700 times. Okay? Except for a siyam, except for fasting, Allah says that is for me. Our reward for it, yani, the reward is left up to Allah. So we know that the reward you get for fasting is even greater than the normal deeds. And what is the reason for that? Because of the sincerity. It's something you're doing only for Allah. This is the reason. Okay, from another of the benefits, inshallah, of fasting as well, is that it teaches you how to get self-control over your nafs. Okay, the nafs is the soul. Like, and Allah tells us in Surah Yusuf, for example, "Inna nafsa la'ammaratun bisu," that the nature of the soul, the nature of a person's soul, is it inclines you towards evil, towards being lazy, towards going away from the path of Allah. That's the nature of the soul is, right? Except Allah says, "Illa ma rahma Rabbi," except for who Allah has mercy upon them. So what fasting does is it teaches you how to get control over your nafs, how to develop self-control. And that's why you'll find that what is the reason why a person finds it easy? Why does a believer find it easy to obey Allah and His Messenger? Why do they find it easy to, you know, for example, to pray their prayers on time, to fast? Like, because they got their nafs. They disciplined their nafs, okay? Like in the beginning, when you first become Muslim, you find praying is hard. It's really hard to pray your prayers on time because you know why? Because you haven't disciplined your nafs. You haven't disciplined your soul. So that's why it's hard in the beginning. But the more you keep on pushing yourself and getting that self-discipline to pray your prayers on time. And even fasting, you know, I remember the first Ramadan I fasted. Whoa, it was really hard. Mind you, my first Ramadan was in summer. So for any of you fasting this year, your first Ramadan, this is like a piece, inshallah, a piece of cake. It's just, you're going to get hungry. Because in the middle of winter, you're going to get very hungry. So we'll talk about that after. Make sure you fill up on very good, what do they call them? Complex carbohydrates to keep burning through the day for yourselves, because you're not used to fasting, so you're probably going to get really hungry and go, what is this? You know, it's not like the 24-hour famine, you know, the 48-hour famine. So so I remember, you know, I felt like I'm shaking. It's like, oh my God, you know, it was hard, you know, subhanAllah. But you know, once your body gets used to it, once you get yourself used to it, it's how Allah toughens you and you get control over your nafs. Okay, so if you're over, the thing is, the more you get control over your nafs, the more you get control over your soul and your nafs, the more that you're able to make your soul obey Allah in other things and obey His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in other things. So this is what fasting does. It helps the person get control over their nafs, because the nafs, all right, the nafs has desires. Okay, the nafs, the nature of the nafs, it always pulls you towards following your desires, whatever you want to do, you know. And obviously most of that is sins, things that Allah has forbidden, things that the Messenger of Allah has forbidden. So if you just follow your nafs, you know, the people of this dunya in generally, except for who Allah has guided, if you look at them, what do they follow? Whatever their mind tells them, isn't it? They do whatever their mind tells them. And whatever they feel like doing, they just go do it. What's why? Because they're following their nafs, they're following their desires. But Islam tells us no. You have to nahan nafsa anil hawa. Allah says, you know, you have to forbid the soul from going to hawa, from following the hawa, from following, you know, whatever it desires. So this is how fasting teaches you to get control over your nafs. It's a training. And this is a 29 or 30 day training session. Okay, it's a 29 or 30 day training session where you're training your soul to get, like, to get control over your soul. And this is similar to other types of, the other acts of worship also teach this control of the nafs. Like if you look at prayers, they also teach you to get control of your nafs. Because look, your nafs wants to sleep in. Your nafs wants to sleep as much as it wants. Okay? And just relax in your warm bed. But Allah has commanded you to wake up for Fajr on time, in the cold, to get out of your bed when you're, you know, and cold, and go to the bathroom, you're freezing, and to turn on the water and start, you know, taking wudu. So by doing that, if you can overcome your nafs in doing that, you're getting control over your nafs. This is how prayers, the more you do it, you're getting control and you get discipline. Now you find that children who are brought up upon the commands of Islam, you'll see they're more able to be obedient and to pull themselves in line and have self-control over themselves. Why? Because they've been growing up with fasting. They've grown up with prayers. So they're able to pull themselves in line. Whereas children who are just brought up doing whatever they wanted, you know, like, you know, not having that sort of discipline, not having that self-control, it's harder for them to have self-control in other areas. So you'll find that the more you discipline yourself with these acts of Islam, the more you'll find you'll get control in other aspects of your life as well. It puts your life together. It puts your life in place. Okay, so this is some examples of how, you know, fasting, it helps us to get control over our nafs. Okay, another way that, you know, benefit we get from fasting. Oh, and just to add on to that point as well, what the ulama said, what the scholars said in regards to fasting, they said if a person is able to control themselves, you know, and you're able to control your desires from going to what Allah has made halal, because normally food and drink and marital relations is halal. But if a person is able to withhold their desires due to the command of Allah in fasting, if they're able to withhold their desires from what is normally permissible for them, then it's going to be much easier for them to withhold their desires from going to what Allah has made haram, from the forbidden actions. So this is from the benefit. So if you're able to stop yourself for 29 to 30 or 30 days, stop your desires from going to what Allah made permissible, then inshallah you'll find after Ramadan, that if it came to, for example, a choice between buying that haram meat, you know, eating something forbidden, you're not going to go to that, you know, oh, it doesn't matter if I have this sandwich of bacon, you know, something like that. You're not going to do that because if, yani, you've been trained to discipline yourself, like, and to stay away from what Allah has forbidden. Okay, another benefit we get out of fasting as well is that, subhanAllah, it reminds us of our brothers and sisters who haven't been given what we've been given. You know, subhanAllah, people who are going through hardships, the poor, the needy, those who are, you know, subhanAllah, those that don't have what we have. It makes us, our hearts, think about them. Right? If you get hungry and you get thirsty, when you're getting hungry and thirsty, it weakens you. Like when you're fasting, you feel weakened from your fasting, from your not having food, not having drink. So you feel weakened. Now, if you think about it, if you were just living, like, you think about the wisdom of this. If we were just, like, if we didn't have fasting, and look at the state of a lot of Muslims today, they have so much money, so much wealth, okay? It's very easy, the more that a person gets blessed with the things of this world, the more their heart can become hardened and not care about others. Okay? And not care about others. But what fasting does, it humbles you. It humbles you. And because you feel weakened from the food and drink. So you start thinking, subhanAllah, at the end of my day, I'm going to have iftar. I'm going to be able to eat. But there are people in this world, they feel like that every day. They go to bed feeling like this. So it's something that humbles you down and makes you think about others. Allah says in the Quran, "Kalla innal insana layatgha ar-ra'ahu istaghna inna ila rabbika ruj'a." So Allah Ta'ala says in Surah Al-Alaq, He says that from the nature of mankind is that they are inclined towards at-tagha. Like, which means that the nature of mankind is the nature of mankind is once you start feeling self-sufficient, you know, once you feel like you've got all the blessings and wealth and luxury, you naturally start to feel self-sufficient, like you don't need anyone. You don't need Allah. Like a lot of people, when Allah opens up the dunya for them, the world, you know, the worldly things, they start feeling like, I don't need Allah in my life. I'm fine by myself, you know. And also, so what happens when you get that self-sufficient feeling in yourself is that two things. First of all, you transgress against the commands of Allah. You have no problems in transgressing against the commands of Allah and going against what He's commanded you and going into what He's forbidden and turning away from Allah in general. And the second thing that happens is you tend to transgress against the creation. Like, you don't care anymore because, you know, you think you're so powerful, so strong. So you've got no problem with cheating other Muslims, you know, lying and oppressing other Muslims in general. So this is a bad quality that Allah does not want for us. He wants us to have care and empathy for our Muslim brothers and sisters. So this is what fasting does in Ramadan. When we fast, we feel more humble. It brings us down, no matter how much money we've got, but it brings us back to reality of how we are. We are essentially weak. We think we're strong, but Allah's reminding us, essentially you're weak. If it wasn't for Allah blessing you with this food and drink, you'd be nothing. SubhanAllah, you'd be nothing and you wouldn't even be able to survive. So it's bringing us back down to reality. It's a reality check for us. And it makes us have empathy with our brothers and sisters around the world. And what does that do? It propels you to want to give sadaqah. Your heart, when your heart becomes humbled in this way, now you feel like, I want to help. I want to help others. If this is how they feel every day, subhanAllah, I want to be generous in Ramadan. I want to give for the sake of Allah and make dua for my brothers and sisters everywhere around the world that's going through these trials and tribulations. So this is from the the wisdoms of fasting. Okay, so now inshallah I'm going to move on and speak about the goal of fasting that should be in our minds, inshallah. Which is something that I mentioned in the beginning when I was reading the ayat, the verses of the Quran. So within these verses, Allah Ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu kutiba alaykumus siyamu kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." So Allah Ta'ala says in these verses, "O you who believe, Fasting has been prescribed upon you, just as it was prescribed upon those who came before you. Why? لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. That you may get the taqwa of Allah. And taqwa means, you know, having fear and bewaring of Allah. Having fear and bewaring of Allah. Now, how does a person develop fear and bewaring of Allah? Because, yani, you want the Jannah and you fear the fire. So, and you want the forgiveness of Allah. So that makes you stay away from what Allah has forbidden, what His Messenger has forbidden, and to try to act upon the commands that Allah has commanded you. This is taqwa. Why do you do that? Why do you act upon the commands of Allah? Why do you stay away from the prohibitions? Because you have bewaring of Allah. You're aware that Allah is watching you. Allah is going to call you to account for whatever you do in this life. So this is the goal behind fasting. We have to put this in our minds, that there's a goal behind fasting we should be aiming for. And that aim is that inshallah we hope by fasting Ramadan, we should see a change in ourselves in this month. That the way I enter Ramadan, I should be different when I come out the other side. You know when you go in the car wash, the car comes in dirty. You know, this is the old-fashioned car wash. So I haven't seen one of these car washes anymore, but they used to be really fun. You know, you get in the car, the car's all dirty, and you're sitting there, and you go for about 5 minutes, all the little things come around, polishing the car. It was really fun. And then you come out the other side, and what does the car look like? All nice and shiny, okay, and new. So this is what we want to get out of Ramadan. We want to come into Ramadan. We come in with our sins. We come in with our deficiencies. We come in with our negligence. Like, maybe we're not praying our prayers on time now. You know, we're not, you know, steadfast. Whatever our case is. So we hope, you know, Ramadan, that we train ourselves in this month, and we come out the other end improved. So we should all be aiming for self-improvement, inshallah. This is what we should be aiming for. Bi-idhnillah. May Allah make it easy for us all, inshallah. Now, the important point here is that we need to realize, you know, that fast in Ramadan is not just about giving up food and drink. Okay? It's not just about giving up food and drink. That's not the end of it. Rather, the main thing that Allah wants to teach us is He wants us to reach this level of taqwa. He wants us to reach this level of taqwa, of avoiding sins and prohibited actions and forbidden acts. So what we should be aiming for is trying to perfect our fasting for the sake of Allah. So fasting is not just about giving up food and drink. Fasting is about trying to perfect your character. It's about guarding your eyes from looking things that Allah has forbidden, guarding your ears from things that Allah has forbidden or dislikes, or saying things that Allah has forbidden. So this is how we try and perfect our fasting in this way. In some ahadith, in some narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for example, he says in a hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, من لم يدع قول الزور والعمل به والجهل فليس لله حاجة أن يدع طعامه وشرابه. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, whoever does not give up false speech and acting upon it and ignorant behavior, Allah is in no need of him giving up his food and drink. So what we learn from this hadith, dear sisters, is that, you know, when you're fasting, you have to bear in mind your character. Pay attention a lot to your character, the way you're speaking, not to lose your temper, not to start screaming, not to start swearing. You know, like, so Allah is trying to train our characters through this fasting, perfecting our manners. So, and also guarding your tongue from saying something haram. You know, if someone tries to open up a subject of like backbiting about someone, and they will, trust me, Allah is going to test you in your sincerity, in your fasting. So sooner or later, someone's going to try and argue with you. You know, if you're married, you'll know that the husband, whoa, he's a big test. You know, sooner or later, the husband says something agitating and you feel like you want to react. Or the child, you know, your kids try to, especially you've got teenagers, you know, they try to argue with you. They're going to try and rile you up. You have to say to yourself, Allah is testing me to see how sincere I am in my fasting. Of course, you're not going to break your fast. People's fasting is not of the same level. There's different levels of fasting according to, you know, people are rewarded differently for their fasting according to how much they're being careful with their fast. Okay, so that's why, inshallah, we want to try to avoid doing anything that can reduce our reward for fasting. So any type of sins, any type of disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reduce your reward for fasting. So like I said, you know, like obviously lying, backbiting, you know, listening to what Allah has prohibited, all of these things, subhanAllah, is going to cause the reward for the fasting to be reduced. So that's why if the person is fasting sincerely for the sake of Allah, then you'll feel that your eyes can't look to what Allah has prohibited. You'll feel like your ears can't listen to what Allah has prohibited. You feel like your tongue can't say what Allah has prohibited. So this is how you know how sincere you are in your fasting. And even the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said it may be that a fasting person gets nothing from their fast except hunger and thirst. So, you know, you might have fulfilled your fad, but it's possible to, if you just completely don't even ignore this, if you completely ignore this, you know, guarding your fasting, it could end up because of how much backbiting you did and how much lying you did and swearing and bad behavior and everything in Ramadan, it could end up where, you know, okay, you've got it crossed off that you've fasted Ramadan, but as far as your reward, you missed out on this huge reward that Allah's offering us. So this is what we have to keep in mind. So the way, you know, think about, if you want to know how should your manners be in Ramadan, try to think about what was the akhlaq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the noble akhlaq, you know, the noble and high manners. This is how we should try to have the best manners, especially while fasting Ramadan. And even the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he taught us that if someone tries to argue with you, to say inni sa'im, to say like I am fasting. Why do you say this? To remind yourself that you're fasting. Because you might think, what's the point in saying that? But when you say it, you know, when you say it like audibly, you're reminding yourself that of what you're doing, reminding yourself of your intention that by you, yani, if you engage in this argument right now, you're going to reduce your reward. And you're also reminding the other person as well. So even if someone tries to backbite, they say, oh, did you hear about that sister? You say, look, we're fasting, let's not talk about it. Yeah, because you don't want to reduce your reward. So remember that Allah is going to test you. There'll be times when you're fasting, Allah is going to test you to see. So when that happens, someone tries to engage in an argument, just remind yourself, this is Allah testing me right now. And I want to protect my reward as much as I can. So imagine if you go through 29, 30 days like this, guarding your eyes, guarding your ears, guarding your tongue, you know, trying your very best to perfect your fasting. Can you imagine? Like they, you know, the psychologists, for example, they say it takes 21 days to develop a habit. So imagine if you, before Ramadan, you're the type that used to swear, used to backbite, whatever, you had bad characteristics. And then you come into Ramadan with sincerity and you try really hard to train yourself. Imagine how you're going to come out the other side of Ramadan. You're going to be a changed person. And this is what Ramadan should be for us. It should be a life-changing event. We should, you know, it should change us. We should be a different person on the other side. Insha'Allah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open it for us and guide us, inshallah, this month and help us to make a lot of repentance to Him. May Allah, you know, soften our hearts and help us to make repent a lot. This is a chance for us to get the forgiveness of Allah. Whoever perfects their fasting, like Allah says, sorry, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Man sama Ramadan, imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqadama min dhanbi. Whoever fasted Ramadan with iman, with sincere faith, and hoping for the reward from Allah, Allah, you know, the Messenger of Allah says, غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. He'll have his previous sins forgiven for him. This is the chance that Allah is giving us in this month. Okay, so just to mention a few other things we should concentrate on in this month. You know that in this month, this is a month of worship. It's a month of ibadah. Okay, so number one, if we want to get close to Allah in this month, the number one thing we should be trying to strive with is getting our prayers in time. Praying our Fajr on time, praying Dhuhr and Asr on time. What I mean by on time? On time means within the time frame you've got. Like you don't have to pray on the dot, like the minute that the adhan goes off. You don't have to pray straight away. You've got a couple of hours, but it's not advisable to delay your prayer too long, because people who delay their prayers, people who have the bad habit of delaying their prayers, are the ones who have the greatest risk of missing their prayers. So missing a prayer means that the time for dhuhr finishes and you end up praying it in Asr time. So it's not allowed to do that. It's a sin. It's like a major sin, in fact, to do that unless you have an excuse. All right? So we have to keep that in our minds. So our first and foremost priority for Ramadan is trying to get our prayers under control. Our five prayers, our five daily prayers, we try to get those under control first. Now everyone here, you're on different levels in your religion. Some of you are just entering into Islam or coming back to Islam, and other people have been Muslims for a long time. So you've got to take on, you know, you've got to take on what you're ready for at your level. Okay, you can't just come in and try to do everything all at one, in one go when you haven't even got yourself disciplined, for example, in praying your five prayers on time. If you try to do everything that we do in Ramadan, probably after 2 weeks, it'll just be all too hard for you and you'll probably cave in or something. You know what I'm trying to say? So my advice always to sisters when they're coming back to, you know, coming back to Islam or coming into Islam, I always say, you know, when you go to the swimming pool and you're learning how to swim, you don't dive into the deep end. You wade in slowly. And this is how we should be. This is our approach we should take in Islam. We wade in slowly. You take on, don't take on too much that, you know, you can't handle. Take on what you're able to do. And we have to follow things in order of priority. So your priority, number one as a Muslim, is to get those five prayers, you know, get those five prayers down on time. And once you've got that down under control, you know, and you're fasting Ramadan as well, of course, because that's also compulsory, then we can add on to that with our other things. Okay, so the other thing we're focusing on in Ramadan, inshallah, is focusing on night prayers. These are optional, these are not compulsory, but they are optional and they are definitely mustahab, like they're very highly recommended for us to pray the night prayers, which we call them Taraweeh, which you see them praying in the mosque. Like you know, at the different mosques now, after Isha, after the night prayer, they're gonna pray some sets of prayers. So it's very recommended for us in Ramadan to pray this night prayer. And again, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said, "Man qama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban, ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi." Whoever stood in the nights of Ramadan out of sincere faith and hoping for the reward will have his previous sins forgiven. And just to mention something here too, just because you didn't pray in the mosque doesn't mean you can't pray Taraweeh at home. What is Taraweeh? It's just praying two rakat, you know, two units of prayer, two by two by two by two. But even you don't have to even pray the whole 11. You can just pray four, or you can pray two. Yani whatever you're able to do, but you try to do your best. The sunnah, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do is he used to pray long, like longer type, you know, longer rak'ah, and he used to pray altogether 11. But that's because he used to stand for longer in his prayer. Okay, but if you're not able to stand for longer lengths, just pray two by two by two. Even if you pray at home, if you felt tired, set the alarm on, pray in the middle of the night, or pray before suhoor, pray before the morning meal. Okay, just as long as you catch, try to just make sure that you pray the night prayer sometime during the night, and don't deprive yourself of this reward, this great reward that, you know, Allah is giving us if we do the night prayers during Ramadan. Okay, so that's the first thing that we should be focusing on, inshallah, and be one of our goals for Ramadan. Another of our goals is to read as much Quran as we can. Okay, because as we mentioned in the ayah before, that the month of Ramadan is the month that the Quran was revealed. So it's the month of the Quran. So we try to read as much Quran as we can. For those of us that's got Arabic, then of course we should be reading the Quran as much as we can in Arabic, because every single letter, Arabic letter, that you read from the Quran is equal to 10 to 700 times in reward. Or 10 hasana, but we know that every hasana is multiplied from 10 to 700 times. And in Ramadan, Allahu Alam, how much more that's multiplied. So you cannot even imagine how much rewards you get just from reading the Arabic Mus'haf. For those of us who don't know Arabic yet, then obviously we try to read as much of the English translation. That's all we can do for now. But inshallah, we should all put the intention not to stay like that. Like our hopes for the future, our ambitions for the future, is to be able to get to the state where we can actually read from the Arabic Mus'haf and get and not deprive ourselves of the reward from Ramadan. Okay, so now what I'm going to do, that's what we basically That's basically our focus for Ramadan. And then besides that, your focus is filling your day with as much good deeds as you can. Whether it's visiting a sick sister for the sake of Allah, praying a funeral prayer for the sake of Allah, you know, cooking for someone who's sick. Especially, we know from the best of deeds is feeding those who are fasting. Because if you provide iftar, if you provide the breaking of the fast for a fasting Muslim, you get the same as their reward for fasting without reducing from their reward. So, for example, inviting people to break fast with you or feeding people overseas, giving them food to eat for iftar. So these are all from, so which in general, as a Muslim in Ramadan, you're looking for whatever good deeds you can find as much as you can to fill your day with, you know, as much good deeds. Try to make a lot of istighfar, like astaghfirullah, like doing dhikr of Allah, remembrance of Allah, you know, subhanallah, walhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar, you know, whatever du'as you can. Okay, now what I'm going to do is I'm going to go through a brief outline of our day. How does our day look? And of course, you can schedule this according to your own situation, but let me just go through this. So first of all, before we fast, dear sisters, and Allahu Alam, what they're saying is, Allahu Alam, most likely Ramadan will begin tomorrow night. So if that's the case, okay, if that's the case, if Ramadan begins tomorrow night, because I want to explain something, in Islam, the day begins from the night before. So once Maghrib comes, the day of Islam begins. So if Ramadan is Monday, it means we have night prayers tomorrow night. Okay? So now what we do, dear sisters, is that if we know it's going to be Ramadan the next day, we have to put in our hearts the intention to fast. For obligatory fasts, we have to have the intention before we start the day to fast that day in order for it to be counted for us as a compulsory fast. So you put in your heart that tomorrow, inshallah, I'm going to fast Ramadan. That's all you have to do. It's not you have to even say that, but in your heart, you've got that, you know, you've got that intention. I'm going to wake up for suhoor tomorrow and I'm going to fast for Ramadan. That's how we fast Ramadan. That's as simple as that. Then from the sunnah, it's not obligatory, but it's recommended to wake up before Fajr. And definitely if you're a new revert, please don't sleep in because you're going to need that food. So wake up before Fajr, like at maybe 3/4 of an hour before the time for the prayer, for the Fajr prayer, and eat. Okay, eat at that time. The Messenger of Allah told us that the suhoor, there's blessing in the suhoor. And imagine the malaika, the angels, they ask forgiveness for you just from taking that suhoor, just from taking that morning meal. So have that morning meal, eat well. I recommend for a new revert and anyone who's going back to fasting, you're not used to it, complex carbohydrates, things that burn slowly, and also drink plenty of water too so that you don't get thirsty. And also eat dates. Dates do help a lot. You know, so after you finish eating your food, fill up with some dates, like have maybe 3 dates, 5 dates, you know, fill up, because I really do find that really helps me. Like usually the first day I'll have a bit more to eat, but as you'll find, as the days go by, you can actually get by eating less.
But is there an example of the carbohydrates that you're saying?
Like for example, every culture has different types, but like full, like broad beans, eggs, all of those are slow burning carbohydrates. That, you know, like eggs is actually protein as well. Protein and complex carbohydrates are things that burn slowly and that keep you full. They keep you full for longer. So look for things that, like wholemeal as well. Anything that, like, eventually I get to the point where I just tend to have Weet-Bix. Sometimes I get the dates and put on the Weet-Bix with some milk, and that's my suhoor often in Ramadan. You know, but it does keep me full for a long time. Even porridge, you know. Oh, that's what I have sometimes. I have, you know, Uncle Toby's porridge, I put my dates in it, you know what I mean? And that's my suhoor. And I have some water, drink a couple of cups of water, because you do get thirsty even though it's only winter. Okay, so we have our suhoor, and then we've already got our intention, that because even by getting up for suhoor, that's even an intention, okay? And then the time for the morning prayer comes. So now, if we haven't got wudu, we go take wudu, and we go pray two sunnah prayers is recommended to pray. Okay, I'm trying to simplify this for you who are like being with Sam for long, just to make it simple for other people. I don't want to overcomplicate it. Two sunnah prayers, and then we've got our two rakat, two units of fard prayer. Okay? So we pray our two rakat of fard prayer. Now, what's recommended after that, again, recommended, is, you know, to do our dhikr after the prayer. You know, you would have heard about subhanAllah, and, you know, saying 33 times subhanAllah, alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times, la ilaha illallah. You know, I won't go into it too much. You know what I'm talking about. Get the fortunes of a Muslim. You have the du'as of the morning and the evening. You can read off that. And to read Quran at this time as well. If you're able to read Quran at this time, it's recommended. And after that, if you can stay until the sun rises, once the sun has risen, you can pray what's called duha prayer. This is just an extra prayer as well. And it has a great reward of sadaqah on all of the bones and joints of your body. So it's equal to 360 sadaqah. It's a huge reward just from praying two rakah, duha. And you're thanking Allah. You're thanking Allah for the day by praying that two rakah of duha. Okay? So then you could maybe do some housework. You could go to sleep a bit. Whatever you want to do. It's up to you, you know? But in general, we focus our day on reading Quran, like I said, dhikr, doing good deeds. Okay, then dhuhr comes. Try to pray. Okay, sisters, one thing I want to mention. About the five prayers, try to get your life to revolve around your prayers. A lot of mistake of what people do is they try to fit their prayers in wherever they can. And they make their prayers revolve around their life. That does not work. The way we should be as Muslims, especially in Ramadan, is to train yourself to make your life revolve around your prayer. If you have to go shopping, you say to yourself beforehand, should I pray dhuhr? If I'm going to be out, wait a minute, I better pray dhuhr first before I go. Because you know how many people, they say, oh, I'll just go shopping first, and they try to fit their prayer in around their shopping, and what happens? Asr comes, they haven't prayed. So make your life revolve around your prayers. This is the best advice I could give anyone. And try to pray your prayers within the first half an hour, if not the first hour. Don't try not to delay after that, because you, as I said before, those people who delay their prayers, they are in the biggest risk of missing prayers. Okay? Then Asr prayer, the afternoon prayer, again, same thing. And then we have the sunset comes, it's Maghrib. So just before we're about to break the fast, this is when we should make a lot of dua. It's said, but the ulama said, this is most likely the time where the fasting person gets their dua answered, their supplication answered. So make, because you're the weakest at that moment. You're the weakest at that moment, just before you're about to break your fast. So make dua, ask Allah to forgive you, to give you Jannah, to save you from the hellfire, to guide you. You know, ask Allah for the good for your family, to guide your children, keep them on the straight path, keep yourself on the straight path. Okay, make all those types of, make you strong in Islam. You know, all of these types of dua. And then break your fast. Inshallah, what's recommended is with dates. Break your fast with dates and drink some water. Okay? And then what's recommended is to go and pray your fard sunset prayer, Maghrib prayer. Go and pray that straight away before eating all the food. Because if you start to eat all the food on the table, what happens is you get lazy and you don't feel like getting up. You might delay your Maghrib prayer. You understand? So and even for your body, it's been fasting all day and then you go stuff your face. Most likely, you know, it's not good for you, even for your stomach, to just go from nothing to suddenly filling it up with everything. You know what I mean? So that's also recommended. So pray your Maghrib prayer and your Sunnah prayers. And what's recommended, you know, for the Sunnah prayers, to try to stick to the 12 nawafil, the 12 extra prayers of a day and night. If you're able to do that, the two rakat before Fajr, the four rakat before Dhuhr, the midday prayer, and the two after the midday prayer, and the two after Maghrib, and the two after Isha. Like the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught us, whoever prays these 12, what they're called rawatib prayers, in a day and night, that Allah will build for them a house in Jannah. So this is, if you want, you know, that reward, we should try to get ourselves stuck to that. And Ramadan is the best time to develop good habits for yourself. So try not to miss those prayers, especially in Ramadan, inshallah. Okay, so then, after you've eaten, before you know it, it's time for Isha. So I recommend, especially if you're a new revert, you know, because when you're a new revert, it's not easy, you know, like you're going to struggle a lot against your naps, against yourself. Go to the mosque, try to pray in the mosque with the Muslims. You know, it keeps you strong being in that environment. Everyone's supercharged for Ramadan. And pray behind the imam, because you don't probably know how to really recite Quran for yourself. So you're going to need, you know, the imam to recite for you. So pray tarawih in the mosque is better for you, I believe, especially once you've, you know, how to read the Quran. Then if you need to pray at home, you can pray at home if you trust yourself. But if you know you're the lazy type, especially when it's cold and raining and you feel like just getting in the blankets and going to sleep, then I recommend you try to go to the mosque, because, you know, we all know we're human beings and we get weak. So you need to think of ways to make yourself strong. And the best way is having people around you, okay? So that's basically, in a nutshell, the way we spend our day of Ramadan. So basically, I just want to sum up quickly as why it's saying how to fast. Let's talk about how to fast. How to fast, it's very easy. Just make your intention to fast beforehand, and then you avoid doing anything that breaks the fast, okay, whether it's by eating or drinking or what comes under eating and drinking, and also, you know, the marital relations, like as in sexual intercourse. This is something that cannot be done by the fast. It's forbidden for the fasting person during the day, but of course it's permissible at night. Okay, just make that clear. And so these things break the fast. They have to be avoided. So we have to avoid anything that breaks the fast. Inshallah, if you have questions about that, I'm more than happy to go into that. But that's basically, in a nutshell, how we fast. It's very simple, straightforward, inshallah. It's easy. May Allah make it easy for everyone. So if you have questions, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions, inshallah. Yes, sister.
During Ramadan, is it permissible to have like walima in the evening, obviously after
the
floor and stuff, or is it recommended
more
to do that outside of Ramadan?
Yeah, the only thing about it with walima, there's nothing particularly in the religion that says you can't, but the only thing about it is if you're newly married, there's obviously a fear that you might not be able to control yourself in the day in Ramadan.
Yeah.
That's the only thing about it. So, but we can't say we can't do it, but this is just something to keep in mind.
Sorry, what is that?
Sorry, get married and have your wedding party at night in Ramadan. There's nothing specific that says you can't, but the only thing that probably, if you fear that, you know, you might fall into, like, because it's not allowed to have marital relations when we're fasting. In fact, if someone does it intentionally, knowing it's Ramadan, there's actually what's called an expiation for it. That they have to, well, the first is to free a slave, which we don't have slaves. Then after that, you have to fast consecutively for 2 months to make up and make tawbah, repentance, and make up for the day. So if you purposely break your fast. Now, if you accidentally ate, I want to mention something here, because you might be a new revert, and then you wake up and have breakfast and you forgot, and you say, oh my God, I've broken my fast. So I just want to tell you something, that if you accidentally eat and you forgot you were fasting and you ate, that does not break your fast, just so you know, because you might think, oh no, I've stuffed up, I'm not a real Muslim, I've eaten. Okay, so I just want to mention that, inshallah.